Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Let the church say amen again.
Amen.
If you would open your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, the sixth chapter. For the last few Sundays, we've been looking at God's holy armor and its role in allowing us to walk in the abundance of Jesus Christ. And in the sixth chapter of the book of Ephesians, we ask that you look at the 17th verse. For we have been addressing the fact that the holy arm of God is connected to the fruits of the Spirit, which are in Galatians, the fifth chapter, in the 22nd and 23rd verses. And we've been showing for the last few Sundays and Wednesday nights the connection between these two popular verses of Scripture. Because if we say that we're going to put on the armor of God, we have to be able to wear it properly. Because a soldier, when they go to war, they have to make certain that they are prepared for war. They have to make certain that they have on the right type of socks. And you say, what do socks have to do with it? Well, socks are very important, because if you don't have the right type of socks, here the moisture won't be absorbed in the socks, and therefore you can have some foot problems. And if you have problems with your feet, you can't go out there and fight. Not only is it about what type of socks and type of shoes and what type of equipment that you have to go to war. And here the Bible tells us as Christians, as we fight this battle against the devil, we must be able to have on God's armor to fight the battle. We can't do it within ourselves.
Yes.
The battle that we fight is not carnal. We are made mighty through who? Through God. We have to understand that we can't fight the devil like we fight our friends.
That's right.
This is not a physical battle. If that was the case, then you can have it your way. You can go work out in the gym, build up muscles, and you can just have that the devil. But you can't do that. We have to find out how God has intended us to fight this battle. Because the devil, he knows how to bring us down. He knows how to distract us. He knows his role. The Bible tells us he has come to what? Kill, steal, and destroy. And the devil's very serious about his job. He doesn't care who you are. He doesn't care who you know. All he wants to do is take what you have, kill your joy, and make certain that your life is miserable. And he does not take vacations. He doesn't take holidays. He even comes into the church house. Let me say that again. He even comes in the church house, and he tries to create mess in the church, because the devil doesn't care. All he wants to do is have us to be with him in his misery.
Yeah.
So to prevent that, we take on the armor of God. And in the 17th verse, it tells us a very important piece of God's holy armor in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, in the 17th verse. And it says, and take the helmet of salvation. Oh, let me read that again. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, when we look at that, just that first part, and take the helmet of salvation. Now, if you're going to have any part of God's armor, you got to know that you're saved. You got to know that you're saved. And for the Christians, what we're talking about when we use our Christian lingo, saved, that is when we profess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of our life. That means we believe three things, essentially, that we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, all of our sins. And then the third thing is that not only did he die on the cross for all of our sins, but he rose early Sunday morning in order that we are not only forgiven of our sins, but yet we have been given power through the Holy Spirit to say what? No to sin. Know the sin. Turn away from it. It's not within ourselves, but through the power of who? The Holy Spirit that dwells within us. If we believe those three things and we confess that to a body of believers, we are saved.
Amen. Amen.
Saved. Amen. And can I tell you something? Most of the time, we always attach our salvation to hell.
Make it plain, Pastor.
We always believe, and there's nothing wrong with this, that is a part of our salvation. We are saved from hell. When we profess Jesus Christ as Lord and the Savior, our belief in those three things, because we believe those things, the Holy Spirit enters into us. And he seals us until the day of redemption, and salvation is ours. Now, when this Holy Spirit enters us, then there's another matter that we have to work on. That's a whole nother sermon, because he can be in us and not be doing anything with us.
Come on now. Amen. Come on now. Come on.
Now, the Holy Spirit needs to be what? Active in us. And he has to be alive. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to what? Use us. But when the Holy Spirit comes in, we have salvation, but we just can't leave it with the fact that I am saved from hell. That is true, but that's not all salvation has to offer us. It's more than the salvation from hell. And I praise God that is more than that. You know why? Because if we don't know Jesus, then as we live life here on earth, it becomes hell to us.
Yes, right.
We got to realize that salvation is bigger than that. But you all don't care about the rest of the salvation because your lives are perfect. You don't struggle with anything. You have no problems, no worries. You have a carefree life. You don't want to die because you already have what? Heaven on earth, right? Is that the way it's going? No? Oh. So I don't stop the sermon right here and just, okay. So you need to know about what salvation truly has to offer us in the life that we are in today. Because what we got to understand that salvation is that which God gives us in order that we may find ourselves saved from the attack of the devil.
Amen.
We have to realize that the devil, he doesn't just picks on the preacher. He just doesn't pick on those who are poor. He is an equal opportunity attack artist.
Yes.
He wants to attack us all. But what we have to understand is, regardless of what the devil may attempt to do to us, we have salvation. God will save us. But there's a big problem. There's a huge problem. Because the devil has a secret agent. This secret agent knows everything about you. He knows the good and the bad. He even knows the ugly. He knows all. This secret agent knows all of the secrets you have hidden in your closet. And you got to know that this secret agent is very close to you. Matter of fact, You look at him or her every morning in the mirror. No, I'm not talking about your spouse. I'm talking about who?
Self.
What we really have to understand is salvation is really about salvation from us, from ourselves. Because there's this issue that we have. The majority of the concerns that we have are centered around us. And this is I'm not condemning just you, I'm condemning myself. Because we have been born to look after who? Ourselves. When we were babies in the crib and our diapers were full of stuff that we did not want next to our body. What did we do? We hollered and we cried.
Oh yeah.
When we were hungry, see, you don't even remember, but you know you did it.
Yeah.
When you were hungry and you wanted food in your baby belly as a baby, what did you do? You hollered and cried. We were conditioned. When we want something, what do? We cry out and we say, fix this right when, now. And we grow up doing the same thing all of our lives. We have a problem in that we find ourselves that in a point of dealing with what we want. Looking at what we feel at that moment. What we need, we look at what we want others to do for us. We also want to deal with the fact that what we do want and what we are afraid of and what we expect of others and what we understand and what we. You just keep filling in the blank, and it's all about who? Me. And the devil plays on that. Because
yeah.
As long as we find ourselves looking to God like Santa Claus, because you know what we do during this season? You know, you take your children to see Santa Claus, you put them on that man's knee,
right.
And they go tell Santa Claus everything they want for Christmas, right?
Yeah.
And when they get to Christmas morning and start unwrapping presents, they expect everything they told Santa under the tree. If you didn't take them to Santa, you had to write letters to Santa, or they wrote letters to you, and you went and you got them everything they wanted. And then you find out that you've created a problem because they spend the rest of their lives waiting for someone that they can cry out to in order that they may be able to get what they want.
Yeah.
It's a problem. Because when things go wrong, we cry out to God, and we want God to what? Fix it. And when we want him to fix it?
Right now.
But life teaches us we can't get everything we want.
That's right.
Life teaches us that life has disappointments. Life teaches us that things can get difficult and things are not just given to us, that we have to what? Work hard for them. Things just don't come on Christmas Day and wrapped in a nice little package. And in life, we realize that we have to struggle. But the important thing that we have to deal with in life is that if we allow ourselves to get close to Jesus, he will take the focus off of us. Because when we focus on ourselves, we feel the pain.
Yeah.
When we focus on ourselves, the solution takes what? Longer to come about. When we focus on ourselves, we find ourselves doing more harm than good because we try to fix it instead of allowing who to fix it? God to fix it. Have you ever been to a doctor's office and you had to get a shot? You know, I've witnessed this with the boys, and sometimes with me, the nurse, if they're very good, they start talking to you when they have the needle, and they start preparing things, and then all of a sudden, you find yourself, and they say, yeah, we got to give you this shot. They don't even let you look at the needle. All of a sudden, you're just talking, you engage in a conversation, then they say, all right, I'm done. They say, what? I was supposed to get a shot. Yeah, I gave you two shots. The shots were given and you didn't know it. Why? Because you were caught up into what? Something else. And it's important for us to be able to allow the Word of God to be that something else that we get caught up in, so that we may be able to have a better appreciation for who God is and what He is willing to do for us. Because here, if we try to get this helmet of salvation on, we have to know about 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, and the 5th verse. And if you have the opportunity to 2nd chapter, the 3rd chapter, and the 15th verse, it tells us, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. If we want to be saved, if we want to be delivered from our circumstances, if we want to be saved from our selfish behavior and be placed on a track where we may be able to hear the voice of God and allow Him to guide us through the obstacles of life, instead of depending on the people and things of this world that will what? Let us down. Here, this particular passage tells us salvation comes not because we look good, not so because of the fact that we find ourselves attached to the right people, but here it tells us that salvation comes through our faith. But before he gets to faith, it tells us that here in this particular case, Paul writes to Timothy and said, hey, you knew the word when you were a child. And here your understanding of the word has made you wise. And that wisdom has granted you salvation. Remember, I told you about salvation comes through your public confession of Jesus Christ as what? Lord and Savior. You found yourself understanding the Word of God, and because of your understanding of the Word of God, you found yourself in a situation where you accepted God in your heart, and because of your belief, you have what? Salvation. Amen. That wisdom, that understanding is something powerful. Because with that understanding, you know the difference between right and wrong. With that understanding, you know the difference between something that is good and something that is what? Rotten. Here, with that understanding, you'll be able to have this, what they call the spirit of discernment, where you're able to see where the devil is creeping up on you. And you know what, here, when you see the devil creeping up on you, you'll be able to recognize who he is. Here, with the understanding of the Word of God, you have this ability to do things that other people can't do because you know the what? Word of God. Can I tell you something? Understanding is great because it brings about what? Salvation.
Amen.
But there's another part of this. Because for me, understanding comes easy. You know the word. You've been studying the word. You know what to do. You know how to do. You see the devil coming. But what do you do about it?
All right, now. Come on.
So you got it up here. You've been in the word. You know the devil You know evil. You know good. You can watch the news and say, oh, that ain't nothing but what? Evil. Nothing but the devil. And here you can even tell people, oh, the devil is all up in this place here. Y'all need Jesus. But what do you do? What do you do? There's another part, because when we look at 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, the 15th verse, it says that the wisdom, the understanding of the word of God granted you what? Salvation. You have it. You have it in your pocket. You're carrying it around. But what are you doing with it? It's the faith that gives you the power not just to have salvation, but to what? Use salvation.
Come on, Pastor. Come on, make it plain.
Because salvation is yours just by speaking it. But so many times we find ourselves dormant. We find ourselves inadequate because we choose not to use the faith that God has also given us, which is a fruit of the Spirit, to put our salvation in action. It's just so like bungee jumping. You know, you got a harness that you put on. You got this big string you have. And you know that the people who has this apparatus has already did the measuring. You may touch the water, but you may go into the water a little bit, but you're not going to go all the way in and drown. You know that they have rigged the system to the point where you'll jump right back up to them, right? And they'll pull you out, right? You know that up here. But I ain't going to go bungee jumping. Let me tell you about roller coasters, too. How about those roller coasters? Boy, you know they test them before the park opens. And you know, you've seen people ride the roller coaster. It goes up in those loops, and they turn upside down, and they flip, and they're going at this fast rate of speed. You know that it is safe because you just saw some people get off of it. Y'all may get on it, but I'm not going to get it. I don't have enough faith in that bungee cord. I don't have faith in that roller coaster. So I sit back and I what? Watch you. But that's not the way God wants us to live our lives in the body of Christ. He wants us to be able to demonstrate our salvation. Demonstrate how he is able to be everything that we need. See, it's through the word of God that gives us the power to be able to go forth and do what God has asked us to do. So remember what the problem is? We find ourselves treating God like Santa Claus.
Yeah.
We want him to do for who? Us. We want him on our plan. We want him to cater to who? Us. We want God to heal us. We want God to fix up our problems. We want God to do for us. But the question is, when we look at every matriarch and patriarch of the Bible who we have studied and we have allowed ourselves to remember the great things God has done for them, they were not acting within themselves. Every man and woman were fighting for God. They were doing the work of God. And here they found themselves the beneficiary of his blessings because they weren't doing their own thing. They were doing what God had guided them to do. We get it mixed up. We want the blessings and we don't want to do anything for him.
Come on.
Here, salvation comes for us to be not afraid of stepping out when God has told us to go and be a witness for him. When God has told us within our hearts to go and do something special. No, you don't have to go to Africa. You just got to go next door. You don't even have to go next door. You just got to go down the hall and go into a room and talk to somebody that's in your house. We have to realize that God brings about salvation when we are doing the work that he has called us to do. And guess what? If you're already doing the work, you don't have to worry about your circumstances. Don't allow the devil to overcome you with fear. Don't allow the burden of your circumstances to cause you to question what's going on. Just trust in the word that you understand. Because with the word of God, it empowers you unto the day that salvation comes. Most of the time we lose is when we give up before the answer what comes. Most of the time we're disappointed in God. It's not because God didn't show up. It's because we gave up on who? God. We have to realize that here in this particular passage of scripture, that this helmet of salvation is placed upon our head. Why is it on our head? So that we will be able to understand who God is, what God will do for us when we are in line with him. We have to be able to understand that God did not put me down here to suffer. And if I'm suffering, I need to get close to him so he can take the pain away. I need to get close to him to find out what it is that I need to do in order to address whatever circumstances I'm troubled with. There's something that I got to let go. There's something that I have to give into. There's something that I have to surrender to God in order that he may display his glory in me. And if we hold on to him and trust in him until the end, you say, when is the end? When God says it's over. When is the end? When God lets you know he's done. But she said, I've been struggling for a long time. But what you have to understand is that when we begin to look in the Bible, time is not a concern for God. He said, what do you mean? That seems so hard. It is hard. It's hard for us to understand. Because God is not a slave to time as we are. Yeah. What God is trying to do is to show you who he is in the midst of whatever you're going through. And can I let you know that he has not left us without a comforter. Amen. He has not left us without instruction. He has not left us by ourselves. He said, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? See, don't be picking up the phone trying to call Dr. Phil. He's not going to answer. But what you have to understand, God has given us his what? His word. He said, what can this do for me? It can do a lot for you, because when Jesus found himself face to face with who? The devil. What did he use?
The word of God.
And when he used the word of God, the devil did what? He ran away. Because not only did he talk it, he believed it. And what we have to begin to do as Christians, we have to speak the what? The word to our circumstances. He said, but I've been struggling a long time. Then you find yourself a scripture and you speak the word according to what God has said regarding your circumstance. And you say, I don't know what to do. Let's just start with one simple passage. Everybody probably learned when they were in Sunday school. If you went to Sunday school or you went to NBC, you learned this passage of scripture. And you probably can quote it with me. And that's the 23rd Psalms, right? You say, the 23rd Psalm? What does that have to do with anything? Has it to do with everything? Because if you listen to this Psalm of David, he's talking about what God has done for him throughout his life.
Amen. Amen.
Because he talks about the Lord is my shepherd. Oh, just think about that.
Yeah.
The Lord is my shepherd.
Yeah.
The creator of heaven and earth has taken charge of my life, and he's going to protect me. He's going to provide for me. He's going to guide me.
Amen.
The Lord is my shepherd. And he just doesn't stop there. He said, the Lord is my shepherd, and I what?
Shall not.
Oh, you know that scripture, don't you? Y'all know that one. The Lord is my shepherd. But I've had some difficult times in my life. But that doesn't mean that you're not going to struggle. But hear what? When you are confident in the fact that the Lord is your shepherd, you are not going to want for anything because you know that he's going to what? Provide for you. You know, my parents in 6139 Munglo, I knew that every day when I came home from school that when I walked in the door, no, I'm not a male servant, it's just the way it happens. My mother was in the kitchen cooking dinner.
Amen. Oh, yeah.
May not have been cooking what I want to eat, but it didn't matter. She was cooking. And I was going to be fed. Didn't know what mom and daddy had to go through to put the food on the table. But every day, guess what? There was food on the table. Every day I walked in, there wasn't a notice on the door. The electricity was on. They provided. It wasn't a worry for me. And what I've learned about God, if I do what he asked of me, I don't have to be perfect. I'm not saying you have to be sinless. We just got to try.
Amen.
If we just try, guess what God will do? He will be our shepherd. Amen. And if we put our trust in him, we won't want because we know that if dinner's not ready right now, it's coming.
Yeah.
And I'll just sit back and wait. I'm not going to eat any snacks. I'm not going to drink too much water because I'm going to wait on what mama and daddy has prepared for who? For me. We got to think of God the same way.
Yeah.
Because not only is our shepherd, but he provides for us where I shall not want. What's the next point? He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the what? Still. Yea, the what? All the shadow of death, I will what? Fear no evil. Why? Thy rod and thy staff, thou prepared the table before. Thou anointest my head, my cup, surely, and shall be housed. If we just keep reciting that and allow the Holy Spirit to minister to us, regardless of whatever trouble it is, see, the devil wants you to be distracted by your circumstance. But when you begin to allow the Word of God to be rehearsed in your mind over and over and over and over again, you become comfortable with who God is and trust in him, because you got to realize that as you speak the Word of God, there's something happening in a realm that you can't see.
Hello.
Here the devil can't come in while you are speaking the Word unless you what? Let him in. He said, that sounds crazy.
Yeah, you're right.
It's crazy, but try it. Try it. Just recite. Trouble when you start thinking about, no, let me fix it. When you start worrying about stuff you don't have control over, recite the 23rd Psalm.
Yeah.
He said, not in your mind, with your lips, so you can hear it.
Yeah.
Not just once, but until whatever it is that's troubling your mind is gone. Because the devil will realize he can't penetrate your mind because your thoughts are on who God is and what God does. That's salvation, you all. He saves you from that circumstance so you won't create problems for yourself by trying to do something that the devil wants you to do. You got to let the word of God work for you. Here, you understand it, but yet salvation gives you the power. But faith gives you the ability to exercise the power that you have. And here you just start quoting the scripture, and as you quote the scripture, God will break it down to you. He'll use personal circumstances where each part of the 23rd Psalm is real in your life.
All right.
Because I remember Sister Garner, who came in here, and she told us, you only have to believe. And I don't know if many of you understood what she was talking about when she came talking about you just got to believe. Because previous to that Sunday, I was hunting for Sister Garner in the hospital. Because she was supposed to have surgery that day. I was looking all over the place and I was asking people, saying, she's not listed for surgery. I said, but she's supposed to have surgery here today. But she's not listed, sir. She's not on the books for surgery. He said, but she told me. And I saw her walking around. I didn't give up. I was looking. I texted her, where are you? Didn't get an answer from a text. And then all of a sudden, we just bumped into us to each other. I said, what happened? He said, God did it. I said, what you talking about? You still having surgery? No, I'm not having surgery. And I start feeling sorry. I said, what? You're not going to have surgery? What's wrong? Nothing wrong. The cancer is gone.
Amen.
I said, what? The cancer is gone, Reverend Jones. And then she came and she told us, you only have to believe. And God will answer your prayer. What I'm telling you today, Mount Sinai, you only have to believe.
Amen.
And use his word. And God will give you everything you need to make it through whatever the devil is trying to bring you down with.
Amen.
And some of you may say, Sister Garner's not with us anymore. But what you have to understand here is this body that we have, it's not permanent.
That's right. That's
just because we fix one thing doesn't mean there are not other things that are wrong.
Yes.
And sometimes God gives us time to come back and take care of some things that are undone.
Yes. Yes.
But can I tell you something? When Sister Garner left here, she wasn't crying.
Right.
She was ready to go.
Uh-huh.
She was at peace with where what she had accomplished. She was at peace with her maker and she was ready to go home because she was missing her husband. She wanted to see her mama again. What we have to understand here is in the midst of everything that we experience in our lives, it's not supposed to be the way we want it to be. We want what God wants so that we can be saved from ourselves. Because the devil can taint your version of whatever it is. But if it comes from God and God is guiding you, he will give you the power to overcome. And here, don't start looking at, well, I asked him for this and he didn't give me that. I asked him for that and that didn't happen yet and I did. That you acting like it's Christmas again.
That's right.
It's not about what you didn't get on Christmas. It's really about, God, what do you want to do with my life? You got to look at Jesus. Because when we look at Jesus, we understand what we are to do with our lives as we surrender it to God. Because see, we have to look at the fact that Jesus, he took on not some of our sins, but he took on what?
All.
Why? Because God asked him to. He took on all of our sins. And guess what the world did? He was dying for the same folk that mistreated him.
Yes.
See, you got to be able to look at the fact that Jesus, when he gave his life to God, he was beaten almost to death, to an inch of his life. Then after they beat him to the point of which he could almost die, they put a cross on his back. And they made him climb Calvary's hill. And you would think that would be what? Enough. But then after that, they nailed him to the cross, gave him a crown of what? Thorns. Placed it on his head. Then they lifted him up on the cross that they nailed him to. Not so that we can see his glory, but so that we can see him in shame. And here, throughout all of that, there was nobody cheering for him. But instead, they talked about him. They lied on him. They stole from him. They stabbed him in the back. You name it, they did it to him. They even spat on him. And he took all of that and didn't say a mumbling word. You know, if that would have been us, we'd say, God, get them now. I wouldn't be using Sunday school words on that time. Because what Jesus went through was horrible. But why did he do it? To show us what suffering is. And he did it without the Holy Spirit. He did it without his Heavenly Father. He did it by himself. He suffered, bled, and died for us. All by himself. You say, that's crazy. Yeah, it's crazy. But he did it so that we wouldn't have to suffer what he suffered. Here, God is showing us this is the extreme, and you don't have to do this. Jesus has already done it. All I need for you to do is just trust me to get you through whatever the devil has put on you. All I need for you to do is allow my word to minister to you as you struggle through life circumstances. And if you listen to my word, my written word, and you follow my lead, well, you don't have to fight for yourself. I'll fight for you. You don't have to speak up on anybody's behalf. I'll speak for you. You don't have to pay back. You don't have to deal with vengeance. I'll take care of them. All you got to do is speak my and allow that word to become real to you in order that you may be somebody else's guide to salvation. Because when we struggle through things, you're going to find out that God sends you people at the right moment to say the right words that have gone through what you've gone through.
Oh, yes, he does.
You're going to find out that somebody, you'll turn on the TV and somebody gives their testimony. You get a phone call and they provide you words of encouragement. And you don't know why they call, but they call. And hear that which you heard was enough for you to get back to reciting the 23rd Psalms and remembering what God will do for you. But you got to realize you can't get stuck on the 23rd Psalms, because this Bible has more promises for you. And the Bible deals with you specifically concerning your circumstances. And God has written it so that we will have a comforter and we have a teacher to unfold the mysteries of this word so that we can be like Jesus.
Yeah.
Whatever cross man puts us on, we'll be able to glorify God in it and through it, so that somebody can say, because of your witness, I'm able to keep on going. Because you have to realize something. Jesus just didn't die on the cross. They placed him in a borrowed tomb. And early Sunday morning, he rose up with what? All power and all what? Glory. You say, why are you always so happy about the power and glory of Jesus Christ? Because all of that power and all of that glory, we have a part in it.
Yes, we do.
That is what gives us the ability to what? Make it through. Because he's not like me. I'll keep that for myself. I don't know what's going to happen, so I'm going to keep all I got up here, and you just try to figure it out by yourself. No. That what gives us strength to keep on. They that wait on the Lord shall what?
Renew
their strength. That's where the power comes to help us through it. And when we feel that nobody out there knows your pain, Jesus does. Nobody understands your struggle, Jesus does. Nobody understands what you're going through, Jesus does. And not only does he know it, but he's up there on the right hand of God, and he's telling them, God, I just need you to give them some of what I have. Because they need it right now. And as we wait on him and as we trust in him, that which seems impossible becomes possible. Why? Because we held on to the word of God. The Spirit gave us understanding. And we were able to walk in the power and do whatever God has commanded for us to do. So don't get caught up in feeling good. Don't get caught up in what the Joneses are doing. Just allow God to guide you. Allow God to give you the strength to deal with whatever it is that you're going through when? Right now. And if you don't know what to do, just allow the 23rd Psalms to be your guide. Cry out the word of God, and it will give you the strength to make it through. Because that's the kind of God that we serve. Oh, Mount Sinai, you gotta know, you're not in this by yourself. People will let you down.
Yes.
They'll forget about you.
Yes.
But God won't. That's the type of God that loves us.
Amen.
There may be someone present here today that does not know Jesus Christ.